after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace will perfect, strengthen, and establish you. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church of North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 312. It is October 30, 2015. Today we're wrapping up Peter's words about persecution and then moving on to some other writers of the New Testament to see what they have to say. It's good to get a lot of good advice when you're asking a question about the Bible. And I like to ask that advice of the men who wrote it. And so we just read what they said. It's usually pretty forthcoming after that. 1 Peter 5:10. After you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So we are going to suffer. There's no question about it. But the question is, how long? Well, it's just for a little while. Whether that's 50 years or a few minutes, it's all a little while in the light of eternity. We've got to keep that in our thinking as we're going through the difficult times. This is just a little while. This will pass. Normally it passes here. Normally, persecution is not 24/7, 365. It comes and goes. It's big hits and then the blessing of God. And we see it in the New Testament. The apostles would go to jail and they'd be delivered. Many, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. That's not to say there aren't those special people among us who are called to suffer for Christ in horrendous and unusual ways. Yes, God has given them the grace to do that. And he'll give you the grace that you need to do what you need to do also. Well, I'm going to leave Peter behind and move on to some other writers. I'm looking in particular now at that fabled writer of Hebrews who we don't know. We don't know that person's name. I'm going to say he. We don't know his name. We're going to have to back up from Peter now and go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, for some reason, I didn't put down the verses here. Oh, my. So, I'm assuming the whole chapter, but not really. We're not going to read all of Hebrews 12. This gets into chastisement. Remember, we weren't studying persecution in this study. We were studying suffering. And so, in the Old Testament, there was a lot of generic kind of things we could say about suffering in general. When we come to the New Testament, it almost all is talking about persecution. Let's see what the writer of Hebrews does. He starts talking about discipline, chastisement, something that cannot be chosen. Now, that's the difference, one of the big differences between persecution and other kinds of suffering, and this kind in particular. You cannot choose, once you've done something wrong that needs dealing with, God's going to deal with it. Persecution, you can walk in and out of. If you decide that you don't want to have that, you're not going to follow Christ. You're not going to say the truth about Christ. You're going to perhaps even deny him. Then you won't have to be persecuted. It is a choice. These other kinds of suffering, all people have to suffer one way or another. Well, we're fixing our eyes on Jesus after Hebrews 11, talking about all those people of the faith. We keep fixing our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. There's that part of suffering again, despising the shame. And he's connecting, I think, in those words, the words of all of chapter 11, who, and all of these people, followed God the best way they knew how to, and God brought them through some very difficult times, and they chose that. They chose to suffer affliction rather than deny the Lord. I'm thinking about in Hebrews chapter 11, I mean, by faith, who was it? The parents of Moses. Let's go back there just a minute before we go on with chapter 12. It was Moses himself Verse 24, when he had grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That was a choice that he made, choosing rather to suffer ill treatment, to endure ill treatment with the people of God, than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. We may have talked about that once before. But Hebrews 12, consider him, verse 3, who has endured such hostility by sinners that you don't grow weary. So you're going to endure the same kind of hostility as long as you're choosing to follow Christ. Verse 4, you haven't resisted to the point of shedding blood. It's not like that. And you've forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you. My son, don't regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Now wait a minute. Is chapter 12 of Hebrews talking about persecution, or is it talking about discipline of the Lord? Do you see then how the Spirit of God has put these two subjects together? I'm saying you can't choose it because it's discipline. And yet we started out in chapter 12 talking about what we were talking about in 11, really, was choosing to walk with God. So which is it? Well, of course, we're going to have to say it's both, don't we? If you step back a little bit, I mean, I can see the difference between persecution and discipline. But when we step back a bit, the loving Father puts them all together in some way and uses these things that the enemy tries to come against us with because we're following Jesus. He uses those things to discipline us too when we do wrong things. Or just to discipline. Discipline is not always punishment for bad. The person who is disciplining himself to run a race, and that is the figure in chapter 12, is not being punished, but he's disciplining himself. And sometimes the Lord steps in and says, let me help you with your self-discipline. But we all have to receive it. Don't faint when you're reproved by him, as Cain did in the Old Testament. He withered. Got so upset when the Lord reproved him that he carried it on into murder finally. Hatred, resentment began to build within him. Don't let that happen to you. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines and scourges every son whom he receives. Now we're getting into the punishment for bad stuff. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. If you're not having discipline in your life, you're not a true son. You're an illegitimate son, according to this passage. Let's move on. Furthermore, we have had earthly fathers to discipline us. We respected them. Now we must be subject to the Father of spirits and live. For they disciplined us for a short time, but he disciplines us for our good. All discipline seems to be not too joyful, but sorrowful. But if you're trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So if you're going through it, strengthen the hands that are weak. Come on. Strengthen the knees that are feeble. Make straight path. Don't go off here. Don't go off when you're being persecuted or disciplined. Don't go off. Don't go the wrong way. Make straight paths for your feet so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint. Look at that whole passage. What an incredible blending here that our Heavenly Father has for us. So we're walking along in our Christian life. We're not perfect, but we want to follow Jesus. And the world begins to find out that we want to follow Jesus. And so the world comes against us and does things to us that are very, very bad. But the Father, knowing that we not only are standing up for him, but that we are imperfect and that we need the correction too, uses persecution as part of our discipline. Don't get them totally mixed up now. It's not that every time you have something bad happens to it, you can put it in one category or another. Although the categories are there, but you don't always know which one the God is pulling out of when he allows these things in your life. Isn't God, our Father, very wise? But he knows what we need. to grow up. He knows what we need to be perfected. Jesus himself was perfected by suffering, remember? Though he did not do any sin, still, as we said before, that discipline, that difficulty that was in his life, especially at the end of his life, had to be there, even for the Son of God. Do you think you're going to escape it? No, you're not. And we don't have to always analyze, as I'm doing now. We don't always have to analyze, Lord, am I being spanked, or Lord, am I being persecuted? Just deal with it, whatever it is. And so, Lord, am I allowed to ask you to stop? I think you are. When a child is getting disciplined, sometimes he prays, Mommy, stop, stop it, it hurts, it hurts. And sometimes Mommy stops. If she's wise, she'll go along and hurt and let the pain settle in. When she realizes that it's finally pain and it's finally been enough, she will stop. If a father is even more wise, I'm talking about our Heavenly Father, more wise, he knows how much pain to allow in. And do we have to complain that he uses a persecution moment to also be a correction moment? I don't think so. But we say, we can pray our way out of it. Weren't they praying in jail? They were rejoicing in jail, but they were praying. Now, was Paul being perfected at that same time that he was being persecuted? He could rejoice about all of it. A true son will eventually, believe me, this is not easy stuff. Sometimes it takes 30 years for you to call your mom and dad and say, thank you so much. Thank you. I am so grateful for my stepfather giving me a few whacks the time I was smoking in the bathroom. I tried one cigarette in my life, only one, as a child, 12 years old or so, got caught and got whacked for it and never did it again. Thank you. And that's how we need to be with our Heavenly Father. We get caught, don't we? He knows it all. He sees it all. And he corrects us, and we need to say thank you in the middle of all of that and say, wow, thank you that I'm a son. Thank you that you love me as a father loves a son. Sometimes it will be that evil man that you did not cause any trouble to at all that is the means whereby you will be punished, corrected. And so you'll be also given credit for persecution at that time, too, if credit is given for that sort of thing. Very involved subject, very important subject, though. Whether we figure it all out or not, it's coming, and we need to rejoice in the middle of it. Here's another angle. Peter gave us one angle. It's all about persecution. But now the writer of Hebrews, who we believe also was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the early church accepted it as so, is now telling us maybe there's a little more to it. Let's go to James, the next book in the Bible. James perhaps gets even more specific about that kind of thing. We'll start it out, chapter 1 in verse 2. He gets right at it. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various troubles, trials, tests. There it is again. It's really repeating. I won't be repetitive and teach it all again, but that's the point. You're being tested, and your response is not to be bitterness, but getting better. Not bitter, getting better and rejoicing. Rejoicing. Count it all joy. Maybe you can't at the moment, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. It's not just that it's the Heavenly Father doing it. Thank you, I've got a good Father like in Hebrews. But what's it doing? It's making me able to endure more. Oh, no. Yeah, it's making you stronger. All of a sudden, those little things that you have to endure every day, they mean nothing. As you get stronger and stronger and stronger, you become a man. You become a woman. Let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete. That's what it's about. He's perfecting you. He started something in you. He's going to finish what he started. That's in another passage of Paul. But it's the truth, isn't it? He started something. You think he's just going to let it go halfway? Like Kim Jong-il's building over in North Korea. He's built a hotel over there when he was alive. It's still not finished. It's all imperfect and messed up, and it's become a folly to him. And there are men whose lives are that way, who have started something with their lives and never finished it. But God's not that way. Whatever he starts, he finishes. He's doing a good work in you. Enjoy as much as you are able. Enjoy what he's doing. Rejoice, I should say. Enjoy is probably not the best way to say it. But in the middle of your difficulty, you're saying, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God." And if even while you're crying, you can be laughing. You can have tears that mean both things. It comes out of the same tear ducts. Let them mean that you're happy in the Lord when you're crying through that difficulty. Turn it into joy. Easy for me to say, right? Sitting here, for sure. Very easy. But you know what I'm speaking is truth, because I've just given it to you from God's Word. Well, we take a break tomorrow. On every seventh day, we don't do a podcast. It's not a religious observance. It's just a break. Just a break. And on Sunday, we come back to North Korea. Thank God for the opportunity to be involved and be informed about this awful, awful thing that's going on over there. I hope that you'll go to my photos click on the website there that you're on. Just go to the top of the page where it says photos, click on it. You'll see a big bunch of pictures. There's a lot of albums, and the top album is the latest one. And you'll see over 80 pictures now that are about North Korea, kind of little by little keeping people up to date on the nation and on the church and what's going on over there. Trust that you'll pay it a visit today. Well, we started out, didn't we, with 1 Peter 5:10. Let's give it one more shot. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace will perfect and strengthen and establish you. Amen.